Happy Mother's Day. Mothers are our link to God. As a child, our first impression of God and first awareness of God's love comes from our mothers. Mothers have taught us, Jesus loves me, yes, I know. Thank you, God, for mothers. Amen. On the announcements this morning, first time, of course, Ritual Friendship. You'll find the cards in back of the pews. And we welcome the opportunity to know each other and to extend a friendly welcome to those who worship with us. Please sign a Ritual Friendship card today. The cards are very useful to the minister and the staff. On the calendar, the minister's office hours are on the back of the bulletin. And Monday, 7 p.m., the Women's Bible Study. And at Wednesday at 6:15 is the elders' meeting. And work day on Tuesday, May 12th at 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Extra hands are always welcome. Are there any announcements? Does anyone have any announcements? George? Thank you, George. Point well taken. Thank you. Okay, if there are any other announcements, Reverend Stillwell has one.
Good morning. I draw your attention to the insert of the hymn sing in your bulletin, and I want to first off just note that it is different because we talked last week. We had moved it to the 7th, so it looks like this. So we put it on the 7th to make sure all the choir members could come. So first off, mark your calendar for June 7th from 7 to 8 for the community hymn sing. It'll take place, and we'll have refreshments afterwards. But I also need your help in promoting it. So please take the flyer with you, and I have more if you need them. And find a place, a business, a bulletin board, a tree somewhere that you might be able to hang it, and just get the word out. Because it's for everybody, we want to have a good turnout from our congregation, but we also want to be gracious hosts to the community. We hope a lot of people will come from other churches, and maybe even people of no church will come to sing together with us the praises of God. Thank you.
Community comes together to serve God and worship. The opening hymn this morning in the Chalice Hymnal, that's number 53, and it's Morning Has Broken. Thank you.
Thank you.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Let us bow now for the opening prayer, followed by the Lord's Prayer. We come today, each with our own needs. If we are weary, may we find rest. If we are anxious, may we find calm. If we are afraid, may we find confidence. If we are doubting, may we find surety. If we are ailing, may we find healing. And let us pray in Jesus' name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Comes together to share tithes and offerings. Jesus, in calling himself the Good Shepherd, said, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Let us give generously so the words of Jesus can be fulfilled. The offertory hymn and a chalice hymnal number 72, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you. gifts this morning are accompanied by prayers that others will hear and accept the invitation to be members of the flock of the Good Shepherd. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. The scripture reading, the first scripture reading this morning is Exodus 1, verses 8 through 17. That's in the Old Testament of the Pew Bible, page number 49. Here begins the reading. Now a new king arose over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase and, in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Rameses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service and mortar and brick and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Sipphira and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The anthem this morning is a solo by Ken Metzger, and it is Well With My Soul. Thank you.
Good morning. I'd like you to turn to page 561 in your chalice hymnal, and you'll see at the bottom of the page, Horatio Spafford. Now, if you know anyone that's expecting a son, Horatio should be on their list. Anyway, Horatio Spafford, you often wonder why they wrote a hymn. Horatio Spafford was a wealthy businessman and a lawyer in Chicago in the 1860s. Well, there were a couple things that would happen in his life that would turn his life upside down. He and Anna had five children, and the first thing that happened was their four-year-old son, their only son, died of scarlet fever at the age of four. Then a couple years later, he was heavily invested in real estate on the banks of the Lake Michigan, and they had the Chicago fire, and almost all of his properties were burned up in the fire. Well, he lost almost all of his fortune right there. So he decided that what they would do is they would take a holiday with his family and go to England and meet up with D.L. Moody, who was an evangelist, and travel with him for a little while. So he and his wife and the five children were getting ready to board a ship, but it turned out that there was a business deal that he had to settle something with, so he sent his wife and the four daughters, that's all that he had left, four daughters, on the ship ahead of him, and he would follow on another ship. So a few days later, he read in the newspaper that ship had sunk. 216 people in 12 minutes perished. So a couple days later, he got a telegram from his wife in Wales And she said, the last thing that she remembered, she was holding the four daughters, and the waves took them away. And they found her unconscious on a board in the ocean after the ship sunk. So he went to be with his wife, and he got on the next ship, and the captain called him on to the deck. This is about the place where the ship went down. So he wrote this song as he was looking into their watery grave. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken, for that moving and beautiful anthem. As we gather this morning, we give thanks to God for faith that endures, not only in times of trouble, but also thrives. For that is what faith is for. Thank you for reminding us this morning. And thank you all as we gather this morning at the Christ Church of Connellsville on this Mother's Day Sunday. For those who are mothers among us, we give thanks. For those whose mothers have passed, we remember and give thanks for their teachings and their love, and the promise that we may see them again through Jesus Christ our Lord. We also give thanks to all those who helped with the breakfast this morning and look forward to the women preparing breakfast for the men in a month or so. We do give thanks for the spirit of service and the spirit of love and the spirit of fellowship that we have within our church. As we gather this morning, we continue to lift up those in prayer and those on our prayer list. As we do so, we also lift up new concerns and new joys. This morning, I received a call from Tina asking prayer for her Aunt Shirley. Her Aunt Shirley is scheduled to have a valve replacement surgery tomorrow and is very much in need of our prayers as she awaits this life-saving, life-giving procedure. She also has good news about her cousin Tilly, for whom we've been praying. The growth on her foot was not a tumor. It was only a cyst, and so that is a great relief. She still does need to have surgery on her foot, and so we continue to appreciate our prayers in that regard. What updates do we have to add to our prayer list this morning, and what joys and concerns do we want to share with one another this morning? Shirley? Pray for Amy Galantine having cataract surgery, second cataract surgery tomorrow. Thank you. Will? It's wonderful news. It's wonderful news. How long has it been? A month? 2 months? Month and a half. So Adeline will be coming home tomorrow from the NICU for the first time, reunited with Brogan, her mother. 5 pounds now. That's great news. We rejoice with God at that wonderful news. Thank you for sharing that this morning. Nancy? Simon Ginley broke his arm on Friday. Let us pray for Simon. Pray for his healing and just the disappointment of missing baseball season. Thank you. Are there any others? Judy? We'll pray for Jerry. Thank you. Ann? Ann's friend's father, Bob, will be having open heart surgery this week. Pray for Bob. George? Congratulations. Thank you for sharing that. We do rejoice, Jackie, for all of your work and all that you do. Happy birthday to you. Thank you, George, for lifting that up this morning. Frank? Okay. Jamie? We'll pray for Jamie battling a custody issue. Thank you for sharing that, and we'll keep you in our prayers. Frank? Celebrate this opportunity for a new start in your new place, and we will pray that it will be fresh and to put away the things of the past. Thank you for sharing that. Yes. Teresa. Rejoice for that. That's a wonderful blessing. Thank you. And also, I just want to share that we had our last coffee house for the spring this past week. We wanted to give thanks to all those who helped put that together diligently each month, and rejoice over this continued ministry that we'll pick up again in the fall. And next week, we will have baptism. Next week, you want to make sure to be here and to let everyone know we will have baptism service that the membership class, the students in the membership class will be done, and it'll be a wonderful day. And as I asked them at the end if they had any questions, the question they had was, what flavor will the cake be? So they have their heads in the right place. Seeing another, yes? Next Sunday. Next Sunday at the regular church time. It'll be a wonderful service. Hope you all be there. Seeing none other, let's take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Caring God, as you created the world, you watched over it with love as it grew and blossomed. Today we pray for those who created us and watched over us with care and love as we grew. Today, Lord, we celebrate the gift of mothers that you have given us, and we give thanks to you for them. We thank you for our mothers who have invested so much of their time, their love, and their concern in our lives. We pray that we may be able to adequately reflect our love and appreciation for all that they have done. We pray, Lord, for mothers whose lives have been shattered by the death of a child. For them, this day is in many ways a day of sorrow and remembrance. Be with them in their grief and help them to see the joy of their connection of eternal life through Jesus Christ. We pray for those who have longed to become mothers this day but have not seen their desire become a reality. May the story of Hannah and Sarah be remembered by them, the way that you remembered them after their wait. May they also remember the story of Moses, who was adopted by the Pharaoh's daughter, and know that there are many ways in which you answer this prayer. And we pray, Lord, for expectant mothers, those for whom impending motherhood was unexpected, or all those who are considering becoming mothers. May they turn to you in guidance for all that they do and know that you and your church are there to help them along the way. We give you thanks for this wonderful gift, O Lord, each of us touched in our own way by them, some of us becoming them themselves. But we pray for other needs as well, and the other ways in which you help to nurture us and to love us and to lead us and guide us. We have lifted up so many prayers to you, O Lord, that we know that you have heard them, and we know that you know what is best. Help us to answer the prayers as well. Help us to see how we may minister in love to others. We rejoice over all the good news shared, the gift of dogwoods, the gift of birthdays, the gift of a child going home to her mother for the first time. We celebrate your goodness. And we give you thanks for those who have been healed, whose sicknesses have passed, or those who their health issues were not as bad as they thought. We give you thanks that Tilly's foot is not cancerous. We pray for the healing of her surgery. And Lord, I pray for all those who are awaiting surgery, awaiting healing, awaiting a new start and a new beginning. We pray for Bob as he has open heart surgery. We pray for Jamie as she fights for custody. We pray for Shirley as she has valve replacement. For Amy as she has cataract surgery. For Simon as he awaits the healing of his arm. For Jerry as she continues to await healing of her body. be with each one of them in their needs. May they feel you near. May they know that we pray for them. May we minister to each person as we are able. Lord, we pray for Jamie and Frank as they wish to begin a new beginning. Help them to turn a new corner, to turn a new page, to take a step together in a new direction, a direction headed towards you and guided by your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit behind. And Lord, we celebrate also the chance of a change of direction. In the coming of baptisms next week, we rejoice over the children who come forward to now stand in the moment of decision, no longer children, but adults in your eyes, preparing to be members of your church and the body of Christ near and far. As we give thanks, O Lord, for all these things that you have given us, as we remember all those who have raised us and raised everyone, we give thanks for you as you raise us. Raise us from children to adults to new life. Raise us to new joy. Raise us to new hope, even as you raise Christ Jesus our Lord. These things we pray together as your family and your church. And together we say, Amen. Will the children come forward for the junior sermon? Slow today. How are you guys? All right. Yeah. Come on, come on. Come on down, come on down. Come on down. Ready for the warm weather. It's pretty nice out there, isn't it? Air conditioning. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. How's everybody? There's no way you're going to fit that in your pocket. Really? Do you guys know what day today is? Mother's Day. I hope so. If this is news to you, then I hope that you'll spend your time at junior church making a card, right? You got to get on that. All right. So I bet that you all know that it's Mother's Day. And what did you do for Mother's Day? Yes. What? You made Mama flowers? That's very good. Did you guys make cards?
Yes.
What did you write on the cards? I love you. And that's what you want to put. Whatever else you put on the card, you might have a joke. You might have a serious message. You might say Happy Mother's Day. But one thing you want to make sure you put on your Mother's Day card is I love you. Whatever else, yes, Ian, do you have a question? Did you tell your mother you love her today? Whatever else you do today, you should tell your mother you love her. And you know what? Should you tell your mother that you love her only on Mother's Day? You should, not just on Mother's Day, every day, okay? We should always tell our mother that we love her. Now, you want to sit here? Now, should you only tell your mother that you love her? How about, could you show your mother that you love her? And how would you go about doing that? You drew a picture with a letter. Okay, very good. That's very nice. Yes, did you have a question? What? Valentine's Day is another day to tell your mother you love her. But how can you show your mother that you love her? How would you show it? How do you show love? Give her a hug. Giving a hug is a great one. Do you have an answer? Give her a card. Yes. Draw her your own hand. Okay, last one. Yes. Chores? Okay, there you go. So you can give her stuff, and that's great. But the best way to show someone you love them is, first off, a hug, right? Hugs, you can't go wrong with hugs. and being good, right? How about, I'm about ready to blow your mind, ready? How about listening to your mother? How about listening to your mother? How about a day on Mother's Day? Mother, breakfast in bed is good. Flowers are good. Presents are good. Cars are good. How about a day where you do everything your mother tells you? Do you think it's hard, isn't it? Yeah, see, I know you're like, yeah, I can make a card, but I don't know about it. How about a day where we don't complain? You're complaining about that. Yeah, I know. It's hard. But that is it. The way a person knows that they're loved is if you show respect, right? If you listen. If you hug, right? Sharing, kindness, these are all great things. Yeah. Do you tell God that you love God? Yeah, and you should. And do you just do that on Sundays?
Come on, don't.
Do you do that every day? Yeah, you should. You want to tell God you love God every day. It's the same thing with God as with mothers, okay? Telling God you love him is great. But what God really wants is for you to show him that you love him. Okay? Let's not squish each other, okay? Let's listen. What is a good way to show God that you love him? Yes. What's a good way? You just hug your mommy. It's harder to hug God, right? But the hugging is really good. But the same thing is often true with mom as it is with God, that if we listen to God, that's the best way to show God we love him. If we listen to his commandments and his teachings, what would that be? If we treat each other the way we want to be treated, right? We call it the golden rule. What if we listen to our teachers, right? And God wants us to listen to our parents. So when we listen to our parents, that's also listening to God, okay? Does God want us to fight with each other? No. No, it doesn't. Does God want us to argue with each other? No. So a lot of times, treating each other well is also treating God well, okay? It's true, it's listening to God, because we're following God's teachings, okay? Showing love is the best thing that we can do as Christians, and it's the best thing we can do as children, okay? Showing love to God and showing love to our parents, and we find out in the end that loving and showing love to our parents is very much the same thing as showing love to God, yes? What about you? Okay. Can you remember that today? Don't just say I love you. Show your mom you love her, and don't just tell God you love him, but show him that you love him too, okay? You can go to your classes now. For our second scripture lesson today, we pick up where we left off this morning, again in the book of Exodus. This time we move to chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. That's on page 49 of the Old Testament portion of your pew Bible. Earlier we read of Pharaoh's decree for the midwives to kill Israelite boys when they were born so that the Israelites would not get too numerous and too overwhelming. Now we pick up where the story left off. For now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. While her attendants walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. This must be one of the Hebrew's children, she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses because, she said, "I drew him out of the water."
The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Where will we be without our mothers? That is a pretty easy question to answer, I think. Our mothers raised us and nurtured us. They were there to feed us and to read to us. They sang us to sleep, and they walked us to our first day of school. They taught us what we needed to know to get by in the world, and when the world wasn't as nice or as loving as mothers can be, they were there to reassure us and comfort us, or maybe even to teach us a lesson. Even though we all went through or are going through a time in our lives when we did not appreciate our mothers as we should because we thought we knew more than they did or we thought that we didn't need them anymore, eventually we come back to realize that even when we are grown, even if we are mothers ourselves, mothers are important and needed in our lives. People who live in extended families know even better the benefits of a mother's love from grandmothers and great-grandmothers, who bestow this love exponentially. It's possible to live and be successful and happy in the world without a mother. I've met several people who never knew their mothers well because they lost them when they were young. And each of these people found the knowledge they needed to grow up from some other source, but I would not want to have to go down that path, if at all possible, because nothing could replace the love of a mother, which is the most uncompromising and unconditional love that you can find in this world. Now, there was once a person that I never met, but I have read about, who almost had a fate very like to those whom I've just mentioned. This man almost lost his mother shortly after he was born and would have had to face the hard world with no mother at all if it were not for an incredible twist of fate that not only reunited him with his mother, but gained him two more as well. This boy's name was Moses, and this is the story of where he would be without a mother. As we heard earlier, Moses was born into captivity, born in the nation of Egypt, even though he was himself an Israelite. His people were enslaved and had been for years, forced to build the cities of another nation. But while they were there, they thrived, or at least they did thrive in numbers, to the point where the Egyptians feared that the Israelites would overrun them. And so as their numbers grew, so did the worries of Pharaoh and his people. They feared that the Israelites, who only numbered 12 when they arrived in Egypt generations ago, would one day overwhelm the Egyptians and overthrow them. So the Pharaoh of Egypt makes a decree. He says, "Every boy that is born to the Hebrews, you shall throw into the Nile." He says this to the midwives who help with the birthing of the children. Moses' mother, whose name we later learn is Jochebed, gives birth to her son and knows well the imperial edict. Fearing for his life, she is faced with the most difficult, heart-wrenching decision any mother has ever had to face. She fears for her son's life and keeps him hidden for 3 months. But as you can imagine, it is difficult to hide a crying child. Eventually, she knows that he will be discovered. She can't keep him hidden forever, and so she, in an act of desperation, defies Pharaoh in such a way that you think would have no hope of ever succeeding. In order to save Moses, she loses him. She places him in a basket and sets him afloat down the river. Who knows where he will go or how he will end up? Who knows where he will be without her? Who knows what she hoped would happen? Perhaps she just wanted to be spared the pain of having to watch him die. Maybe she hoped he would be rescued by birds that would fly him to safety from this terrible land. Maybe she hoped for an act of God to save him. It was, by any account, a desperate act by a desperate woman. But it worked. I can't imagine that she planned that it was going to work out this way. But it did. For just down the river was the daughter of Pharaoh, the enemy himself, bathing, and she saw the basket and sent her maid to fetch it. When she saw what it was, that she was instantly enamored in the way that people often are with newborn babies, and she takes pity upon him. She decides to raise the child as her own, knowing that her father would not demand that this child be killed if she asked him.
And so Moses' mother's desperate plan worked. At least on the first level, his life is saved. She saved his life by giving him up. But the story does not end there. For Moses' sister, later identified as Miriam, steps out from behind the reeds, where she was watching her young brother's travels. And again, who knows what she had hoped for? Who knows what thoughts were going through her head? But she watched him as he floated on, and as soon as he was found, instantly knew what to do. This idea strikes her immediately. Knowing that Pharaoh's daughter has not given birth, she would be incapable of nursing this baby. So she volunteers to find an Israelite nursemaid to help raise the baby. And the nursemaid she gets just happens to be her own mother, and the mother of this child, though Pharaoh's daughter does not know it. She gets Jochebed, the mother of her and Moses. And now the story comes full circle. Jochebed gave up her son to save him, and in return, she found him. And she got to help raise him, to see him grow. And he grew up to save his entire people. Perhaps even Jochebed herself. We don't know if she's still alive by the time Moses helps the Israelites leave Egypt. It is the story of a mother's undeniable sacrifice. But there are many other mothers in this story as well who played an essential part in the saving of the baby Moses and eventually the Israelite people. For as Moses floats down the river, he will certainly drown or die of starvation or exposure to the elements if he is not rescued. Pharaoh's daughter saves him from certain death by drawing him out of the water. And she names him Moses, which in Hebrew means the one who draws out. What a great double entendre that is. He is the one who was drawn out, and of course he will be the one who will draw the people out in between the waters of the Red Sea. What a prophetic name he is given. A foreshadowing of the day in which he will save his people, even as he was himself saved. Pharaoh's daughter adopts him and raises him. She becomes, on some level, his mother, and it appears that for a long time, his mother raised him and nursed him, but eventually Pharaoh's daughter takes over. And so she becomes the adopted mother of Moses. But then there's also his sister Miriam, who also acts as a mother in a very important way to him. She protectively watches him as he floats down the river to make sure that all is right. And when she sees the opportunity to save him, to step in and to rescue him, she does so, calling upon her mother to be his nursemaid. Without her dedication, her concern, her quick thinking, Moses, Miriam, and Jochebed would never be reunited as a family. It is not an uncommon thing for an older sister to act as a mother to a child, to in part help raise a child for the mother, and in some cases, be that mother. We should remember that and honor all those who mother in very different ways to each of us in our lives on this day. As we read the story, we ask ourselves, where would Moses be without mothers? He is essentially raised by his mother Jochebed, his adoptive mother, Pharaoh's daughter, his sister Miriam, who sometimes acts like this mother to him, who all save his life on all these occasions. He would not have gone anywhere without all three of them helping to raise him. Perhaps such a great figure, such a hero of renown, needed more than one mother to raise him. Maybe he needed all these women in his life to keep him straight. But in the story, there can be no doubt that God is at work. There can be no doubt that God was guiding as things went about, working through each woman, using each one to protect and care for this child for whom God had destined great things. And by doing all this, God very much acts as a fourth mother to Moses and to the Israelites, making sure that this nation of people to whom God had given birth were raised in their infancy to adulthood. God gave birth to all the world, and God has born us and raised us and continues to do so. God watched the children in the garden and punished them when they had done wrong, but never stopped loving them, never stopped helping them, never stopped being there for them when they needed it. And the history of the Bible, again and again, is the story of the Israelites forgetting that they need God, is that they are too big for their britches, as if they know everything. And then things go wrong, and they remember, and they call upon God, and just like our mothers before or after him, maybe he shakes his head, maybe God gives a sigh, but still the help is there waiting for them to come. As Jacob had loved her son so much that she risked her life for his safety, God's life was also risked that we may live. As Miriam watched over Moses to make sure that he met a safe end, so does God watch over us. And as Pharaoh's daughter drew Moses out of the water, so does God draw us out of the waters of baptism. Saved from death and given over to a new life, cradled in the arms of our sustainer and protector, God draws us out from the water that threatens to overtake us, and we are made clean. And just as Pharaoh's daughter took him to Moses and nursed him, or raised him, which was another way of saying that she adopted him, so does God adopt us. For as it is written in the letter to the Ephesians, God destined us for adoption as children through Jesus Christ. Just as we call God our Heavenly Father, God is also our Heavenly Mother who draws us out of the water to live anew. The water of birth, the water of rebirth, calls us to one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Mother of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So many of the ways that God works is best described as the way that a mother loves a child. That bond that is so strong. That bond that can handle so much. But with any metaphor, it breaks down, for God is so great that it's hard for us to even grasp and understand. But as we celebrate Mother's Day, let's remember an old Jewish proverb that sums up the theology and motherhood in one simple sentence. It says, God could not be everywhere, and therefore God made mothers. Now, it does seem true, doesn't it, on one level at least? Certainly the second part is true. Our mothers do seem to be everywhere. When I was growing up, my mother would work 6 days a week, and she would pick up my brother after swim practice, and she would have me along in the car as well. And then as I grew older and played sports or needed to get to various things, or work jobs, went to stay with my friends, she had to take me there as well. She drove me all over the place between going to the places that she needed to be. And my mother and I spent a great deal of time in the car. We might have spent more time in the car with one another than anywhere else. And much of the time, the cars that she owned did not have radios in them. That's how old I am, right? So most of the conversations that we had were had in the car. I didn't have a cell phone to look at, and I didn't have a Game Boy, so we had to talk a lot. It was tough, but it was worth it. No, it was very good that we had that chance to have that time. And we would wait for my brother to finish practice, and on the way home, we would talk on the way home from practice as well. And I sometimes felt bad that between my brother and I, she had little time for herself. I remember thinking that she would be so happy when my brother and I were old enough to go to college, we moved out, and then she wouldn't have to run around everywhere, and she would have all this time for herself. What a great life she would have then. She wouldn't have to be everywhere. But I also know that when that happened, that she missed us because she enjoyed having us with her. And I imagine it'll be the same for my wife and for me as well, when one day our children move out. On this Mother's Day, we remember the Jewish proverb, and we celebrate and give thanks that God did create mothers to be with us, and to be with us everywhere, to guide us everywhere we go. Even when they are not physically with us, they're still there. The things that they taught us and the love that they showed us. They rejoice with us when we succeed, and they commiserate with us when we fall or help us pick us back up. But we also know that the first part of the proverb is not true. God can be everywhere. And like our mothers, God is there beside us in times of trouble, and God celebrates with us in times of joy. And if I ever feel guilty about making God do too much by listening to my prayers and granting me strength when I'm weak, or forgiving me my sins again and again and again, I think to myself that God would probably be more troubled if I felt as if I was too old to need God anymore. So let us remember, on this day above all days, that we are never too old to need our mothers, and we are never too old to need our God. Indeed, where would we be without them? We would be just like Moses, floating around with no direction and no hope, no life and no tomorrow. Let us give thanks for the wonderful gift that God has given us. Let us give thanks for the wonderful mother that God is to us. Amen. Now the community comes together around the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as best as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 75 in the Child's Hymnal, Come and Find the Quiet Center. As I said, motherhood is one of the best metaphors to represent God's love to us. Love, sacrifice, joy, service, it's all there. And the other side is there too, the sense of frustration or anger, disappointment, and stress that a mother experiences. But the key is that those second things are never enough to overcome the first. The love that a mother shares oftentimes bears with a great deal. But as a metaphor, it isn't perfect. All metaphors are. Because not every person has had the privilege of having a great relationship with their mother or even sometimes knowing their mother. But as we come at this table, we know that we do have the opportunity to have such a relationship with our God. For here at this table is represented for us a perfect love. A love that bears all things and endures all things. A love that knows no end. If you were fortunate enough to know this love as you grew up, then come and share in this meal and find here a remembrance of things past and a foretaste of things to come. But if you were not, come to this table and know that here is a love that has been made for you, that is offered to you, and that will make you nostalgic for a home that has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Let us share in this meal this morning as we share in God's love from one to another. And now this morning, let us pray.
Dear Lord, today we celebrate our moms and those who have taken on the role of moms in their absence. We thank you for our moms, those who are still with us, and those who are now in your tender care. Give strength to our moms and those who have taken on the role of moms so that they can face the challenge of raising our children in these difficult times. We come to this table to get our strength to face a new week and to accept the abundant blessings that you so freely give us. Thank you, our loving God. Amen.
For I hand on to you, it was also handed on to me. Then on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. After having blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup, and after having blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Now the community responds to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Christ as your Savior, or dedicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is 484 on the Child's Hymnal. We have a story to tell to the nations. Let us stand as we sing. Now let us bow our heads for the benediction. Be forever blessed, forever loved, forever cradled in God's arms, forever called by name. Go, knowing God's grace, sharing God's peace, living God's justice, and bearing God's blessing to all. Amen.